whatever. We'll see. We're just testing it, so. Oh, it came up what I said.
It's so fancy.
That's so cool.
You're so fancy.
Oh, I'm track one and two. I don't even know what's going on right now.
So fancy. You didn't know.
Okie dokie. Recording there, recording here. We're recording.
Recording everywhere.
All the recordings.
Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
So what do you want to chat about today?
I don't know. Something good, because there's a lot of craziness going on in the world.
Oh, God, I know.
Supernatural Season 15 is coming to Netflix Friday.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I turned it on to refresh my memory, and it had Season 15 coming Friday, so that's exciting.
So the first half of Season 15?
Yes. What we have so far of Season 15, they were like, you know what, we're not even going to wait.
They did the same thing with Riverdale, too. Riverdale's, like, there's like three or four episodes left that they have to show, that they're going to show next season, but that they already have this season on Netflix.
See what you're doing, trying to stretch out another season.
Mm-hmm.
See through your lies.
I know what you're doing.
Can't fool me. I'm a detective.
Yeah, I can't even wrap my head around what's going on in the world right now.
There's so many things happening everywhere.
It's just, it's craziness. The whole world's gone mad.
It really has. In a world where, like, we're trying to find unity, I feel like we're so separated. It's...
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm thankful for, like, this podcast, and for the people that listen to it, and for the people that respond to us, because it's something that I can depend on to be there and to be understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I give Supernatural credit because it's able to bring people together.
I agree. Well, speaking of Supernatural...
Yes.
Do you want to get into this week?
Yes, let's do.
Oh, do you want me to do my fun stuff at the beginning? Like I did last week? Some rankings,
like,
and some Urban Dictionary?
Love me a good Urban Dictionary.
Okay, so today we are going to talk about Season 2, Episode 8, Crossroad Blues. Do you like my headband, by the way?
I do. It's very fancy. I was going to comment that it's very pretty, and I like it.
Thank you. When did this episode air, Liz? Do you know?
Okay. So, here's what I got on Crossroad Blues. It aired November 16th, 2006.
So long ago.
I know. It feels like an eternity. And then I put it in conjunction to, like, when I graduated, and it makes me sad inside.
High school or college?
Yes.
You're going high school, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. I would be later than that. Mine would be college graduation. Anyway, I was actually out of college for a year. Ooh, that's scary. Enough about me being old.
Enough about that. Let's talk some supernatural
demons. People, they're probably sitting there now with their calculators like, okay, it's 2020.
Like, how old are
these? She graduated 15. Oh my gosh, she's old.
We got some detectives on our hands.
Not that old.
I promise.
I'm young at heart.
Jared and Jensen are older.
It's true, they are. Well, Jared might not be. Jensen is.
Jensen for sure.
Okay, so I did the episode ranks last time. No one told me if they liked it, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, I mean, until somebody says something otherwise, I like it.
So they're like, Jesus Christ, would you stop doing that?
And we're the ones that count. Until somebody says something, and then we don't.
Okay, so last week I had the two episode ranking lists, one from Decider.com and one from Thrillist.com. Oh, and, because you know how the one is from that guy Gladstone guy person, whoever this person is, it's Gladstone.
Oh, yeah, Uncle Joey.
And Brittany posted that she wasn't ready for the Full House reference.
As a side note, the fifth season of Fuller House is out.
Yeah, today, yeah.
And I started watching it, and Dustin asked me what's wrong with me.
Well,
and he goes, wait, that's still happening?
Yeah, it's the last season.
It is the last season.
We are currently watching Full House in our house from the beginning. We're actually on the last season, I think.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe, no, we might be on season 7. I think there's 8 seasons. So then we're going to go to Fuller House.
Okay. I like it. Even though I can kind of guess what's happening, it's the nostalgia. Like, you don't have to think about it. You can turn your brain off and just enjoy wholesome goodness.
Yep. I love it. Okay, to go back to what we're talking about.
Yeah, Supernatural. Different show.
Derail from our tangent. Okay, so the Decider.com list was the Jessica Moore list, which from 2019. She ranked Crossword Blues as number 58 on her list of 300 episodes. She said, okay, that the cold open of this episode and the use of music is one of my favorites. It sets the episode up for a diabolical tension that persists throughout and sets up stories for years to come.
I was trying to remember. It opened up with Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
What, 1928 or 1938?
Somewhere around there. 28, I think. I think it was 28.
I think it opened in 28. And, I mean, he was known for his blues, so of course they have to have music. And he's so tied to the Crossroads that they couldn't have him in it.
Exactly.
They couldn't not have him in it. They had him in it. I don't know where Sorry.
I understood what you were putting down.
Yes.
Okay, so the Thrillist.com, which is Uncle Joey Gladstone, from 2016, ranked this number 40. I think their list was out of 200 and...
Oh, that's right. They were early.
They said, we learn of the important and recurring concept of crossroads demons who give 10 years of wishes in exchange for souls. Sam and Dean get the news that their dad traded his soul for Dean's life.
And this episode had a really crazy ending with all the flashes of things to come, which we haven't had in previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I forgot about that, and it was all of a sudden they're all over the place, and I'm like, wait, what is that?
What is going on right now?
Is it the end of this? Was this the last episode? I don't know. Is this a season? I don't... just tell me what's happening.
Stop.
Stop already.
So how do you...
All right, so he had it up pretty high.
Yeah, they're still pretty close together, though. I think closer than last week.
Yes.
I think last week was pretty far apart. Oh, yeah, last week was 126 and 223, so...
Only, like, 100 or so, yeah. You know.
So this is a pretty close episode. A good episode. It's in the top 100, top 50 for the one, so...
This one's one of my favorites.
I really liked it.
Over the course of the entire series of Supernatural. Because, I mean, it really does give us an insight into, like, how demons work and, like, kind of an insight to how hell works.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the introduction of actual hellhounds.
Yes. I have something in my random shit about hellhounds.
Ooh, I can't wait.
I know, it's so exciting. Okay, now, do you want the Supernatural Urban Dictionary definition this week?
Fuck yes, I do.
Okay, so it's going to be supernatural fandom is our word.
Okay.
And one of the definitions of supernatural fandom is a group of majestic unicorns, rainbow slinky worshippers, and possibly the only people on the planet who look forward to seeing Lucifer every Thursday night.
Okay, they're not wrong.
I like that we are a group of majestic unicorns.
Yes, I appreciate the majestic unicorns and rainbow slinky.
Yes. Worshippers. Rainbow slinky worshippers. Yeah. Okay, can I just tell you this is really cool because I'm watching it record and it's transcribing every word I'm saying.
That's super exciting, but also nerve-wracking because I'm afraid that I'd fuck something up and see it and be like, no, why did I say that, like, immediately?
But I can go back and instead of going through the audio, the waveform, to try to find it, like, there's an right here, and I can just go and highlight that and delete it out of the text, and it takes it out of the audio file.
That's amazing. That's a magical unicorn right there.
It is a magical unicorn. Majestic, if you will.
Majestic unicorn. Yes.
I'm going to stop watching it, though, because that's what I'm going to do the whole time. Just be like, oh, okay, I got to watch it. Okay, do you want to get... Oh, I guess you need me to give you an outline.
We need a synopsis.
Wait, let me find it. It's at the end of my notes for some reason. Here is the outline for Season 2, Episode 8, Crossroad Blues. Dean calls a demon to make a deal to save a man named Evan Hudson in exchange for himself. While making the deal, the demon confirms Dean's worst nightmare about his father. Yes!
Done. See.
Got it!
And scene. That's it, kids. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Balls, a Supernatural podcast.
Sorry, that's all we had time for.
That's all we got.
Okay. Let's get into it.
All right, so in this episode, we are opened in Rosedale, Mississippi.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Because we end up seeing Robert Johnson make a deal with a crossroads demon. So I found this, I found it interesting that obviously all deals apparently with demons are sealed with a kiss.
Yeah.
And that in this, they appear as to what you, whoever's making the deal, be you, find attractive. So usually for like males, it's an attractive female. If it were a female, it'd be an attractive male.
So you're telling me
it's not always the case, but I obviously, because we see later on, it's not always the case.
So if I were to make a deal at the crossroads, like Jensen would show up, is what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So then later on, we go to Greenwood, Mississippi in 1938, and Robert Johnson is playing blues guitar at Lloyd's Bar. And we hear dogs, which I find interesting as like a twist in history. The introduction of hellhounds versus what actually happened to him versus what we actually see happen to other people later on in the episode from Hellhounds.
Yeah.
Which ends up causing him to panic and run out of the bar into a shed where he's found having a heart attack and mumbling about black dogs that are after him, which he ends up dying. And I appreciate the close-up of the woman holding him, the cross around her neck.
Yeah.
So fast forward, we're now in 2006.
Hey, 2006.
What up, 2006? And Sam and Dean, there's no preface, are just researching a case of Sean Boyden, who committed suicide from a building he designed, and obviously he had reported seeing a dog in the building, and there are no dogs in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So the boys obviously go and interview his significant other. Partner? They really didn't say his tie to Boyden when they were interviewing him for, quote, Architectural Digest.
I assumed it was, like, a business partner, maybe, but you never know.
We'll go with partner.
Okay.
Just overbearing partner.
The general
Sean's partner.
General partnership. But
general partnership.
Whatever.
And they find out that he went to a bar called Lloyd's 10 years ago and randomly overnight just started designing buildings nobody had ever seen before.
Yeah.
After wanting to be an architect for forever. So then, obviously, Sam and Dean start kind of tracking reports about black dogs in the area. And they come across Dr. Sylvia Perlman.
Hey, Sylvia.
What up, Sylvia? Sylvia.
Every time I hear Perlman, I think of Ron Perlman.
I know, me too. Which, tie back, this deals with Hell. He played Hellboy.
Oh, that's right!
Yeah.
Yes, that's
word
right.
Association.
Boom.
Done. And Dr. Perlman actually is chief of surgery at an extremely young age.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys find out that she just disappeared.
Gone.
After reports of seeing a black dog, or basically losing her mind as we kind of see her. Because she looks crazy in a hotel room.
Yeah, when she's in the hotel room, she's pretty on edge, if you will.
She won't stop making the sounds, and I'm like, I don't understand what's happening here.
Yeah. Like, are you scared, or
you're not necessarily hyperventilating, but you're making some weird... She sees some freaky shit when, I guess, the owner of the hotel asks her to pay for another night, because she's holed herself up in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised at the fact that, like, she locked the door, but she got a hotel room with a window. And did nothing for the window, including hiding in front of the window.
Yeah.
They also find out that she partied at Lloyd's.
Now,
but she gets attacked by hellhounds.
She gets her clothes ripped off.
Exactly. That's where I was like, okay, so we open up with hellhounds chasing Robert Johnson, who does, quote, die of a heart attack, poisoning, whatever you want to make it.
Yeah.
who's supposedly seeing these hellhounds that kill him. But, like, here they are ripping this lady to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, the boys have to go to Lloyd's bar, which looks like... It looked like in Blazing Saddles when they build the fake town. And it's not real, it's just a plywood storefront. Because they never actually go in the bar.
I'm sorry, I love that movie. It's in the middle of nowhere. Like, how did these people get there? Because it's literally it's on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere. It looks like...
Unless...
One of those, like, mirage things, you know, where it just, like, pops up when it wants to.
Exactly! And then there's, like, a weird water tower near it.
Yeah!
That plays a decent part later.
Yeah.
But my only thought is, like, maybe they heard the story of Robert Johnson and they sought out the crossroad and that's how they ended up at Lloyd's Bar and they needed some, like, liquid courage to either call the demon or to celebrate. I mean, Sylvia looked like she was having a good time with three friends, like, dressed for a night out in town.
Yeah.
And they were at Lloyd's
in the middle plywood of nowhere.
Storefront bar tavern. You know, just the usual place. The usual hangout.
That's where I chill on my Friday nights.
So they go to Lloyd's bar and they realize that it's a crossroads, and the crossroads is surrounded by plant used in summoning rituals.
Yeah, the yarrow flowers.
Which yarrow is yellow. What are you doing?
Mario.
And they magically knew how to and where to dig up to find essentially a time capsule of summoning.
Yeah, I want to know how that happened.
I mean, did they just get lucky and just, like, know that people are burying things? Because obviously you can't bury a summoning kit on top of a summoning kit on top of a summoning kit.
Right, but, like,
maybe they were just hoping that there was, like, a line of summoning kits.
I don't know, because they've never discussed it before.
No.
I mean, to my knowledge, anything about, you know, demon deals and crossroads and...
I mean, we saw the first demon deal, really, with Dad.
Right, but it wasn't, even then, like, a ritual to go, you know, you have to be in a crossroads and you have to bury a cat bone or whatever the hell it was. And...
Oh, yeah, the black... ironically, a black cat bone. Like, how do you...
This goes back to last week when you were doing death omens and it was, like, a black cat, whatever. Well, how the hell are you supposed to know it's a black cat cry? How do you know it's a black cat bone?
Yeah, so apparently to summon a demon, not that we're saying do it, so don't do it. Just...
Yeah, please don't. I don't want to be held responsible for that.
No. Obviously, don't do what Daddy did and draw a summoning circle.
Yeah.
Step one. Step two, don't find a tin can and fill it with a vial of graveyard dirt, which I was impressed. I was like, okay, so they put a vial in there. They didn't just, like, throw dirt in the tin can.
Yeah.
Black cat bones, and then a photo of yourself.
Does it have to be a good selfie, or it could be any?
I mean, George Darrow had a pretty decent selfie.
Your best Snapchat filtered. Oh, would that work if it had a Snapchat filter on
your headshot? You better put your headshot in there.
Oh, shit. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go get any.
And this is when they realize that the black dogs are actually hellhounds that are being sent out to collect souls in payment for deals with demons, because this is a summoning ritual to call a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And crossroads are known for their deals. And that's when they were like, dude, we have to visit George Darrow, which, oh yeah, it did say on the back. Okay, I was going to say, how do they remember it's George Darrow? They saw the name.
Name on the back of the picture.
Yes. Yeah. Turns out George Darrow's a painter.
Hey, George.
Oh. Who seems pretty laid back for the fact that he's going
to
die.
I know, he just wants to finish his paintings. But we talked about George a couple episodes ago because his apartment was used in the H.H. Holmes
episode.
They reused it for this one. Just tying it all back together.
And he even admits that he needed to think his deal through, because he asked to be talented.
Right.
He didn't ask for fame.
No.
So we find out that there's, like, a caveat to when you make a deal with the devil, you gotta be careful of your phrasing.
Right.
And then after the deal, for some reason this demon just, like, camped out at Lloyd's bar for a week.
Hey, why not?
And just made deals with, you know, Boyden and Sylvia and Evan Hudson.
I mean, why just stop at one when you can have as many people as you want?
Exactly. And I thought this was very, I don't know, it was humbling to find out, like, this guy he knew his deal. He knew what he did, and he was almost okay with the fact that he has to make this repayment.
Oh, yeah. Because
they offered to try and save him.
Uh-huh.
And he said, no, I just want to finish my painting. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, like, he was at peace with what he knew what he did, and he had to pretty much pay up.
So now they are on, like, okay, fuck this dude. He doesn't want our help. Let's go find somebody that does. Oh, wait, there's only one other person alive. Let's go to Evan Hansen's house. And I keep wanting to say Evan Hansen.
Oh.
And I have to, like, I have to keep checking my notes because I'm going to say Evan Hansen, and I'm like, that's not right. This is not a musical. Not yet.
Not yet. Just wait.
And so we see Evan Hansen, who also knows his time is up because he's trying to get his wife out of the house.
Oh, yeah. He's like, no, you need to go.
You haven't seen your sister's baby yet, so go.
Yeah.
Have a weekend. I'm fine. I love you forever.
Have fun, honey. You don't hear those dogs? Oh, okay.
So Sam and Dean confront him, find out that he made a deal, and it turns out he didn't make it for himself. He actually made it, so we now know that you can make deals for yourself, but you can also make deals for other people.
That's right. The whole time, Dean was like, you know, you did it to get a hot wife or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, I did it for my wife. I did it for my wife.
Yeah. So Dean was, like, all pissed, and then you find out that he did it because his wife was going to die.
She had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Which even then hits Dean harder.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised. Because obviously it ties back to his dad. He goes, did you even think what she wanted? Do you even consider what she thought about doing? Like, she might have come to the idea that she was okay with dying from cancer.
Right. Yeah, because he's like, well, so now what? You didn't want to live without her, but now she's going to have to live without you.
Mm-hmm. And that's when it kind of really tips him off. So then Dean suggests that he goes by himself and summon the Crossroad Demons to try to exorcise it while Sam stays and protects Evan. Which, I didn't even remember to bring this up. Can we please talk about the black powder?
Oh, the
goober powder?
The hoodoo thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was goober, right?
Yeah, something like that. It was goober a weird powder. Name.
Goofer. Goofer dust.
Goofer.
Goofer dust.
Goofer, goober, I mean, whatever.
Close enough. Goofer dust, which is our first introduction to goofer dust. So we now find out that you can protect yourself from hellhounds using goofer dust, not salt.
What was goofer dust again? Like, what was it made out of?
So goofer dust, if I remember correctly.
You don't have to remember correctly. We're not...
did he even say...
I don't remember. I don't even have my phone to look. Oh, I have a freaking computer.
I don't think he does. I just think he says his grandmother taught him from hoodoo.
It's a hoodoo thing. Okay.
However, I do know that it is used in old voodoo practices. And it actually comes from the Kikongo word kufwa, which means to die.
Kufwa.
And actually in the 1930s, goofering was a regional synonym for voodooing.
You can use it as a verb?
Yes.
I was goofering last weekend.
And the meaning of the term was things for spells of illness, damage, death, to include love spells cast.
Okay.
And it apparently... Oh, okay. So I found... Sorry, I'm searching this now. Okay, so goofer dust is primarily made of snakeskin and sulfur.
Oh, okay.
So that's what's used on hellhounds, but it doesn't work on demons. Or at least high-ranking demons.
Well, then do we have to get into the hierarchy of demons again?
Yeah, well, later on we find out that it doesn't work on certain demons.
Yeah.
So Dean goes and he creates his own little summoning kit, little summoning present.
Hey, demon.
And tries to lure her into the Impala.
That doesn't work out.
I mean, you meet a pretty girl at a crossroads in the middle of nowhere, you're going to invite her into your car, right?
Hell yeah.
That's how it works.
With a devil's trap underneath of it.
Which she notices.
Mm-hmm. Like, he couldn't pull over a little bit over top of it.
Well, you know? And I don't know if that was also part of his plan.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he didn't want her demon... Patootie in the car. He's like, I don't need demons in baby.
Yeah, he didn't want to exercise in a car. Because there's so many people driving those back roads at night that you need privacy.
Yeah, Lloyd's in the middle of nowhere.
So they kind of have a tit for tat in which she kind of like starts taunting him about John's death and that she can bring John back and then stay in Trudine's soul.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And...
He gets her in a second devil's trap before they start...
Underneath that weird water tower thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, all this is going on. Sam and Evan are now standing inside a circle of goofer dust. while hellhounds are approaching, which claw the shit out of that nice hardwood floor.
Yeah. How do you explain Holy that hell. One to your wife?
So, I don't know about you, but it definitely looked like Dean was about ready to make a deal for his daddy.
Oh, definitely.
But she ends up losing her temper after getting trapped in the second devil's trap. She refuses Dean's offer for her freedom in exchange for Evan Hudson's life. And that's when he pulls out a really old rosary, and it looked wooden to me.
Yeah.
And starts to exorcise the demon, which is the first... Is this the first time we've seen Dean exorcise a demon?
Yeah, I think Sam
Usually
always did
Usually it's Sam.
It. Yeah.
So props to Dean on memorizing the rites of exorcism.
I know, I was really proud of him. He didn't even have a book or anything.
So he starts exorcising the demon. The hellhounds are still running loose. Goofer dust is flying everywhere now.
Goofer dust everywhere.
And Dean gets a kiss.
Yeah.
Crazy shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, saves Evan, calls off her hellhounds. She says, okay, now you can let me go. I really thought he was going to continue to exorcise her just out of sheer anger and hatred.
I did too. I really thought he was going to.
Then he breaks the devil's trap, lets her go. She taunts him again now about John's fate, and this is where we find out that, like, hell isn't just hell. There are different areas of hell, and John isn't in a particularly good spot.
Yeah.
She leaves, fleeing the girl that's still alive.
Oh my god, yeah. I forgot about that part.
I wonder how Dean dealt with that. Like, hey, you're okay, then nothing happened.
Yeah, what do you do? Because clearly
I'm
you're
a guy
the...
in the... You're a girl in a very revealing dress in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. She has no idea, like, what's going on. Oh, I picked you up in Lloyd's.
Yeah. We were having a couple of drinks. Yeah. You had a little too much.
You just decided to come out here by this weird water tower in the middle of nowhere.
I thought you needed more than just a glass of water.
Thought you'd want to take a dip.
And then everything's kind of copacetic, and the boys are in the Impala, and this is where they're, like, really, I don't know. They talk about the deal that Dad made, kind of, like, solidifying what they both thought that they didn't really talk about, but they kind of talked about, but no one really actually came out and said it.
Yeah.
Dean, we see Dean again visit that feeling of, like, you didn't think about how I would feel, you just left, and now I have to deal with you being gone. For, like, the supernatural reason. It didn't have to happen. And now you're not only dead, like, you're being tortured in hell.
Right.
While Sam tries to convince him, like, you know, Dad thought he did what he was best. We can try and help him. We can try and get him back. And he asks Dean, and this one hits so hard and so home. When he asked Dean if he considered accepting the Crossroad Demon's deal, and Dean just doesn't even look at him. Doesn't answer, doesn't say a word, just looks straight forward, and I'm like, your silence speaks so much more.
Yes. Yeah, if you would have just played it off, like, it wouldn't have been, you know, as big of a deal, but not saying anything, we all know.
For a second, not knowing what happened in that little interim, too, with him and the demon under the water tower, when I saw him kiss her, I was like, oh shit, did they make a different deal?
That's what, like, it's exactly what I thought. I was like, holy crap, he actually did it.
I know. I was like, oh, shit, he's going to die in 10 years, and this is going to... Uh-huh. God damn it, where's Sam?
Sam, come back.
And then we get the whole flashback of everything that's to come, which is all over the place, and it's not that many more episodes, so...
No.
Crazy shit is happening.
Yeah, the next, I wrote down today, the next episode, episode 9, is the mid-season finale of that year, so.
Croatoan.
Mm-hmm. Croatoan.
Croatoan. No bueno.
No, not at all.
No bueno. I mean, I'm excited to talk about because crazy shit happens, but I'm also not excited to talk about it because crazy shit happens. So if y'all are listening to this, tell us what you're looking forward to in Croatoan, what you think are going to happen, and if you watched the episode, what you did or didn't like. Because holy shit.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. What she said.
Everything Liz just said.
So we have some random shit?
We do. I want to know if everybody did their homework for today that I posted on Twitter to watch the remastered Devil at Crossroads. If you did, thank you. Tell us what you thought about it. If you didn't, shame on you.
Do it. You still got time. I mean, just because we're asking you now doesn't mean you can't go watch it.
I mean, you can watch it whenever you want.
But we are a little disappointed in you.
Yes. Just a tinge. It's fine. Whatever. It's fine.
We still love you, but just disappointed.
What is it, AC? That's exactly what it is. You know how your parents say, you know, I'm not mad at you. I'm just a little disappointed in you right now.
That's the worst. Then I'm just being like, you fucked up. You're grounded.
Okay, sorry. Okay. So I have a little bit of music. I have some clips again.
Yes.
Which I found out last week that when we recorded, since they were going through my headphones, they didn't actually record on the audio.
Oh, no!
So I had to go back and, like, re-record them. Pretty much, to get them in there. So, a couple songs... Well, I'm only going to play one of them. But there's a couple songs today in this episode that are actually Robert Johnson songs. One that there was The Hellhound on My Tail. And then one was Crossword Blues. And I'm going to play it. A smidgen for you right now. Smidgen?
All right.
Smidge? Smidge? Part of it.
Segment?
Yeah, okay. Here we go. That's all I'm gonna play because I don't know. I don't know how much I'm actually allowed to play. It's so good, isn't it? It's so bluesy and I love it. Okay, so as I just said, the title of this episode, Crossword Blues, is taken from that Robert Johnson song. Lloyd's Bar may be a Shining reference to Lloyd the bartender.
Huh.
It may be in reference to the 1986 movie Crossroads, which was inspired by the legend of Robert Johnson. The bar next to the Crossroads in the film was actually Lloyd's Bar and Grill.
Okay. I didn't pay attention to that. I'm the worst.
I never saw that movie, so I don't know.
It's been a long time.
Dean mentions John Dillinger in this episode, who is an American bank robber. His activities in the 1930s contributed to further development of the FBI. There was also a 2009 movie, Public Enemies, starring Johnny Depp and Christian Bale, which I recommend because that is also a good movie.
Also briefly has your boy, Channing Tatum.
Is he? Oh, yes!
He's the one running through the fields, Floyd. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, Channing.
That's a good movie. You get a chance to watch it. Oh, please do.
I really like that one.
Many reasons, too.
Not just the attractive men that are in it. Although, you know, that helps, but it's actually a good story.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And how they caught / killed him. Whew.
The things that you could get away with in the 30s was just, I don't even know. It was crazy. Crazy times.
I'm watching a show called The Irish Mob.
Ooh.
Around that time, and it's going through, like, a bunch of the Irish mobs. And what they did, like, people were shot, people were in homes, they kept gangster malls. Gangster malls were essentially, like, these girlfriend moms, like, throughout cities. Crazy. Sorry, I digress.
No, I like when we go off on tangents.
Too much information in my brain.
I gotta let it out. Someone has to hear it. I can't just keep it to myself.
Get all the random information!
Okay, the black dog picture Dean comments on is actually I don't know how to say this. Fenrir?
Oh, yeah. Fenrir.
Which is
the mythology?
Yes, a monstrous...
Norse mythology?
Yeah, a monstrous wolf in Norse mythology. Dean talks about MySpace. And the fact that he doesn't know what MySpace is.
He thinks it's porn.
Yeah, is it a porn site or something? But as we remember, and I hope most of you guys remember MySpace, it was the first social media in the early mid-2000s. It was pre-Facebook. Kind of post-instant messenger.
It was the weird love child of what Facebook and AIM used to be.
Yes. You had your top eight.
You could make your background. You could put music to it.
Oh, I remember going in
everywhere
and learning like a little bit of coding just so you could change your MySpace page.
I felt like such a techie.
God, I did too.
I'm like, oh, look at me coding everything. Hashtag control this.
I thought I was so awesome. But I mean, I still am, but.
But we no longer have MySpace.
Thank God. Dr. Sylvia Perlman, not Ron Perlman, stays at the Baskerville Motel, which is a reference to Sherlock Holmes' story, The Hound in the Baskervilles.
Hound of the Baskervilles.
Which features a supernatural, let me turn the page, dog. I really thought there was going to be more to it. Why didn't I just write that on the other page?
I don't know. Why did I not catch that? I feel like such a goof.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm a huge Sherlock Holmes fan. I didn't even catch the Baskervilles.
You have failed, Liz, and I am disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in myself.
So Denny Delaroy, who actually plays Sylvia Perlman, is also in Season 11, Episode 3, The Bad Seed. She's witch number one.
Oh.
Not number two or number three. Witch number one. Vincent Gale, who plays Evan Hudson. He looked familiar to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what else he's been in. I really didn't look that up. But he's also in Season 8, Episode 10, Thorn and Frayed. He plays Viggo, which is who we'll meet later. Crowley is a torturer demon.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Yep. Christy Lang, who's the crossroads demon summoned by Johnson, was also in Season 1, Episode 7, Hookman. She played Taylor. She was the slutty roommate. And then Alex Ponovic, who is Sean Boyden's partner, however you want to take that.
Yeah, the partner.
We're not sure. We're not sure which one he was. He was Skinwalker number 2 in Season 6, Episode 8, All Dogs Go to Heaven. And he was Gunnar Lawless in Season 11, Episode 15, Beyond the Mat.
So he just can't get away from Supernatural.
Mm-mm. He's like the Keegan lady from last week.
Yes.
Who, Belle. We'll call her Belle because that's what I know her for. And then this is the first episode where we meet someone possessed who flashes red eyes, indicating that they're a crossroads demon.
I'm curious, and I haven't actually, like, sat down and all the different colored-eyed demons and who they are slash what they stand for.
Yeah, ooh, that would be a good thing to do.
Because we know we have yellow eyes, and we have red eyes, and
right.
Then
black
obviously
eyes.
The black eyes demons.
The like, shiny eyes were the...
Skinwalkers.
Yeah. I'm gonna write that down. Different eyes. Oh, maybe I'll look that up. Maybe that'll be okay. I can tell you already that for next episode, I already have the amount of times that The Shining is referenced throughout the...
Oh, yes.
The entire thing. It was in this episode, too, so...
Okay. They're about an episode. I mentioned an episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Somehow.
Sometimes two.
Yep.
In this episode, the way the hellhounds kill their victims is different than any other episode. Rather than mauling their victims to death, they can give them heart attacks and make them commit suicide. Because you never really find out the Sylvia, they kind of show her being pulled away, but they don't really show her, like, actually getting, like, mauled. Like,
when
you see
true.
People later, you know, get mauled.
Yeah.
So.
Gross.
Okay, now before I get into my Robert Johnson information, do you want to do my international titles?
Woo!
Okay, so this is Hungarian.
Arcua demonal.
And that means a deal with the demon.
Apropos.
This is Italian.
Patto col diavolo.
Well, that sounded like a bad word at the beginning.
Diablo.
This means deal with the devil. And then this is Finnish.
Blues, king kosketus.
Which means the touch of blues.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know what you're talking about, but I have some information on Robert Johnson if you want to hear it.
I do, and I have some in mind too, but I'm sure we'll cross some information, but at the same time.
We'll cross roads.
We'll cross roads.
Yes! Okay. So if you guys did not do your homework and did not watch Remastered Devil at the Crossroads, Robert Johnson is an actual person. And people really believe that he made a deal with the devil to get his talent. He made his deal in 1930, and he died in 1938 at 27 years old. According to Wikipedia, Robert Johnson had an affair with a woman named Beatrice Davis. At a dance, her husband Ralph gave Robert a bottle of whiskey with dissolved mothballs in it. It took 3 days for the concoction to kill Johnson. Johnson actually was diagnosed with an ulcer the previous month, so the mothballs not only made him ill, but irritated the ulcer so much that it made him vomit violently when it ruptured varices in his esophagus, causing him to hemorrhage and eventually bleed to death.
Oh my god, that sounds like the most painful death.
Yeah, like that really sucks. So was it the deal coming back to get him, or? We don't know. It's bad news.
It's a mystery.
And here's just some awards and stuff that he's won, obviously posthumously, because he died in 1938. Oh, and he actually, before I get into that, he actually wrote, do you know the song Sweet Home Chicago?
Yes.
I didn't know that was his song. I just remember like the Blues Brothers singing it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was a Robert Johnson.
Tons of people have covered a bunch of his songs because they were so poignant and they were so progressive.
Yeah, he's a big thing in the blues community.
Yes.
He was actually inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1986 as an early influencer on rock and roll. In 1991, he was awarded a posthumous Grammy for the Complete Recordings, which is a 1990 compilation of all his songs and, I guess, things that previously weren't released. In 1998, his single Crossroad Blues was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame.
Wow.
In 2006, he was awarded a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. In 2003, David Frick ranked Johnson fifth in the Rolling Stone magazine's 100 Greatest Guitar Players of All Time. That's pretty awesome. There are actually several movies and documentaries made about Johnson and his life. In 1991, there was a documentary, The Search for Robert Johnson, by John Hammond Jr. In 1997, there's a documentary, Can't You Hear the Wind Howl? The Life and Music of Robert Johnson. 2019, your homework was supposed to be Remastered Devil at the Crossroads, which is directed by Brian Oakes and is on Netflix. I can't discuss how it's just a good documentary.
So good. And it's not like it's an hour long. It's not that long.
Right, yeah, it's not like it's going to take like, you know, Titanic time out of your day. But then it gets you more interested and it's intriguing, so then you want to find out more about him. So it might take more time, cuz then you'll probably hop on the internet and be like, I want to know more. But then in 2019, there was a book called Up Jump the Devil and the Real Life of Robert Johnson, which is written by Gail Dean Wardlow and Bryce Conforth. I can't read my handwriting, it's horrible, I'm sorry. That book is considered the definitive biography on Robert Johnson. So that would be, if you wanted to know more about him, that would be a good place to start.
Okay.
You can't get better than the definitive biography.
Hell no. It's definitive.
Yeah.
They the don't NLB just, all right there.
They just don't give that word to anything. Okay. Okay, that's all I got for you.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you want more? I mean, I could find more stuff, but that's all I had for right now.
All right. So, before I go into it, here are some of my resources that I got information from. MSU.edu.
Ooh.
ICSedgwick.com. AstonishingLegends.com. HiddenRemote.com. Biography.com. And Robert Johnson Blues Foundation.
You got HiddenRemote.com?
Yes.
I used them last week.
Alright, so here we go. Alright, so Crossroads in folk magic and mythology represents a location between worlds, making it easy for demons to enter our world, which is why a lot of people go to Crossroads, because the veil there is slightly lesser.
What if you went to one on Halloween?
Well, we'll get there.
I'm sorry.
You're jumping ahead of my notes. Get out of my notes.
Get out of my head.
Now, there are different meanings to Crossroads and different ways to call a demon. You can leave an offering of food, wine, silver, or lavender. Different ways to do it. So if you wanted to, if you left an offering of food, wine, silver, or lavender made at a triple crossroads, you would be asking for advice.
A triple crossroads? Okay. I see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
The devil offering fame, knowledge, or power will be summoned differently. And if you wanted to finish or solidify any magic dealing with a deal with a demon, you would complete a wash, which must be completed either at the crossroads or poured out at the crossroads to solidify the deal. There's no kissing here.
I just pictured, like, pouring one out for your homies.
Pretty much, like, pouring one out for the demon. Whoever you made the deal for. So, I know you're asking, because we only met one person at the crossroads. But who might you meet at a crossroads?
I'm dying to know.
Well, there are three possible people you could meet at the crossroads. Or call to a crossroads. One would be the devil himself. He doesn't send demons to do his bidding. It would be the devil.
Is that like a pretty important deal?
He's known as the Daddy of Crossroad Legends.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. We call the Big Daddy to the crossroads. Now, he usually appears as a well-dressed man offering fame, money, power, or knowledge in exchange for your soul. In Christian lore, making a deal with the devil was a tie to witchcraft, and the exchanged soul would face eternal damnation. Some people who made deals with the devil agreed to kill children at birth as a sacrifice.
What?
To solidify the deal. You'd go to the crossroads, make a deal with the devil, and you'd be like, alright, well, I'm gonna sacrifice my firstborn to you so that the deal isn't intact. And then, whenever you give birth, you kill your kid.
Well, that's... No.
Some people believe those who made deals with the devil were left with a mark. These could be birthmarks, moles, scratches, or scarring left behind by the devil. This also kind of ties into witchcraft.
Okay, I have a question about the last part, sorry.
Yes.
What if you never had a kid?
I guess then your soul is the devil's and you negated on the deal.
Oh, I thought you could get around it, but he's probably smarter than that.
Yeah, I don't think the devil leaves any loopholes.
Okay, never mind.
But the marks also tie into witchcraft because people believe that witches were able to be identified by these birthmarks or moles, which people believed to be the teat for the devil.
The teat?
Yes.
Okay.
And these deals would be made in the forest.
Sorry.
Whereas, like, obviously.
I didn't know the devil had teats.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's a big old mole.
I have nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
So a second person you might meet at the crossroads would be Papa Legba.
Okay.
And if you're unfamiliar with Papa Legba, He is known as the Lord God or Loa of the Crossroads, and a Loa is an active spirit agent of voodoo. If you watched one of the more recent seasons of Coven, or American Horror Story Coven, Papa Legba is one of the guys that they call,
who kind of floats in between the spirit world and our world. So Papa Legba governs the threshold to the spirit world. He sometimes takes the dark form of Kalfu or Carafor and controls the crossroads. So he's used to communicate between mortal and spirit worlds, much like the Greek god Hermes. He's usually seen as an old man with a cane or a walking stick and straw hat. Typically, he's helpful and kind, but he's a bit of a trickster.
Ooh.
And he's willing to help you if an offer is made, generally of candy.
Papa Legba likes the sweets.
He likes the sweet, and he likes to be treated with respect.
Oh, okay.
So you treat him with respect and you make an offer, he's more than willing to help you.
Okay.
The third person you might meet at a crossroad is Hecate, and she is known as the Queen of the Crossroads. Oh. Hecate comes from Greek mythology. She looks after entrances, magic, witchcraft, dogs, ghosts, herbs and poisonous plants, and necromancy.
Okay.
In order to find her crossroads, usually there are stone pillars placed in a three-way crossroads where people would leave offerings of food for Hecate, generally small cakes of eggs, cheese, bread, and dog meat. If offerings were left at the new moon, Hecate would offer protection from evil spirits. She has been known to have sculptures made of her with three faces representing her role as guardian of the crossroads. And her children are the, I'm going to say this wrong because I can't speak Greek, the Empusae.
You translate.
I know, I should have.
And I just talked right over it too.
Her children are the Empusae or Empusae, E-M-P-U-S-A-E. And they are female demons known for seducing travelers. Now to tie into my Robert Johnson, he's known as the most famous crossroads deal. He was born May 8th, 1911 in Hazelhurst, Mississippi. He was the son of Julia Dodds and a plantation worker, Noah Johnson, who was not her husband, Charles Dodds.
Oh, snapperoonie.
So he grew up in Memphis and learned how to play guitar. He was inspired by famed blues musician and harmonica player, Son House. He was originally not very good at guitar or any music in general, which is why a ton of people now believe that he disappeared for about 6 months and came back pretty much top of his game. So legend has it that after a particularly bad performance, he disappeared. I was joking. It's not months. It's weeks, actually. He disappeared after a particularly bad performance for 4 weeks in Clarksdale, Mississippi. And legend has it that he took his guitar to the crossroads of Highways 49 and 61 and made a deal with the devil. After this, quote, deal, he went on to write Sweet Home Chicago, I Believe I'll Dust My Broom, Hellhound on My Trail, Kind-Hearted Woman Blues, and 3220 Blues. He mysteriously died at 27 on August 16th, 1938 in Greenwood. Some believe that he was poisoned. Some believe he had congenital syphilis and drinking moonshine caused an aneurysm. And some believe that the devil came looking for payment. So this is where we get into the timings and legends of other crossroads and lore. So according to Old English tradition, crossroads were burial sites of criminals and people who committed suicide. Burying them away from towns and putting them at crossroads would confuse a spirit and prevent them from returning to haunt the towns. In German lore, if you visit a crossroads between 11 p.m. and midnight on New Year's Eve, you can hear the names of people who will die in the upcoming year being called out by the wind.
Oh.
And in I wonder if, like, my thought first thought when I read that was, is it just the first names?
Yeah.
Or is it like a full name? Because I'm not going to a crossroad between 11 p.m. and midnight and hear them say, Elizabeth. And I'd be like, yeah. Is it me?
Melissa.
Is it people of that town? Is it people in that area? Like, I don't know where they draw the line.
That's
And So according to Danish lore, again, if you go to a crossroads at midnight on New Year's Eve, if you stand inside a rectangle drawn by a horse cart, the Danish are very specific. So if you stand on a rectangle drawn by horse cart tracks, you can summon a ghost, and because you will have trapped them in this rectangle with you, they will be forced to answer three questions of your choosing. So, like, you could call your good friend Abby from childhood if she passed away and be like, yo, Abby, so did you really steal my stuff? Abby would have to answer. Abby, did you make fun of me the other day?
Did you take cake in first grade?
And at that point, Abby has answered your three questions. She can't leave until she answers those questions, truthfully. But you only get three questions, and then she's gone.
I feel like you have to prepare for this, then.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have to, like, mentally. And I don't know if you can, like, just call one ghost, and that's it.
Do you get to say specifically who you want to talk to?
Yes.
Okay, it's not just, like, some ghost pops up.
No, and I also, my thought, because it's not specific, would be, like, can I go and, like, summon, I don't know, Edgar Allan Poe, and why has nobody done this? To, like, find out how he died and all that fun stuff.
Well, maybe, Liz, that could be your thing. You can go have a
go summon Edgar Allan Poe.
Summon Edgar Allan Poe.
But that's all I got on crossroads and crossroad deals and who you might meet at a crossroads. So the next time, if you're looking for some fun on New Year's Eve and you're not doing anything, go to your local crossroads. You might find out if you'll die in the upcoming year. You might find out if you can answer some questions.
Isn't that a gas station?
So I'll meet you at 11:45 at the Sunoco.
Yeah, I think crossroads is like a mini mart kind of thing.
We'll go get some sodas, take them to the other side.
Oh, Lord. And I want to know who's going out there on New Year's Eve.
That's how you're celebrating your New Year's Eve. I could be drinking champagne, but you know what? I need to go ask three questions.
Yeah, or I just want to go sit here and hear people's names on the wind.
Yeah.
I don't know if that sounds like a good time.
No, it's not exactly how I want to ring in my New Year.
No.
But that's all I got for you kids.
You cool cats and kittens.
Oh, you cool cats. Speaking of cool cats and kittens, did you happen to see that she has control over Joe Exotic's old zoo?
I did. I saw that this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Baskin. I still haven't
watched it. Damn Carol Baskin.
I still haven't watched it, but I got that t-shirt because I thought it was cute.
I watched everything up until the newest episode when I guess they, like, revisit everybody.
Is he the only one in jail?
Yes.
None of his husbands are in jail?
No. One of them's dead.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, don't apologize to me. Oh, my husband.
I didn't watch it. I don't know.
I don't know these things.
That was pretty fast. That wasn't long for us.
No, and we had a longer last
time on the episode we didn't want to talk about.
Well, I think we were very matter-of-factly in this.
Yes. We got all of our points across. So next week we're going to talk about
Croatoan,
which, like I said before, is the mid-season finale.
I'm not ready.
You're not ready for the mid-season finale from 14 years ago?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't ready for it then. I'm not ready for it now.
Just checking. Just making sure that's where we're at. Oh, I want to know, did you see I've been posting my shirt of the day?
Yes. I love it.
People seem to like it. They like my shirts.
You got some good shirts.
I do. I have way too many, I'm finding out.
I mean, it's better than not having enough shirts.
And I haven't stopped buying them. I just got like three more. One has Willie Nelson on the front of it, and it says, "Have a Willie nice day."
Oh my god, that's amazing.
I know, it's pretty fun. One is a tie-dye tank top that says, "The only BS I need is beer and sunshine."
Oh, okay.
Then the other one says, the front says, "You are beautiful," and the back says something nice. I forget what it says.
Yours are better than mine. I'm just wearing a Rob Zombie shirt.
Everybody likes Rob Zombie.
I mean, a decent amount of people do. I don't think everybody does, though.
I would say most people like Rob Zombie as a person.
I mean, he's vegan.
Maybe not his music so much.
That's true.
He's a pretty nice guy.
Yeah. Friend of animals. Tallahassee, yeah. Come here.
They might not like his movies. Okay, do you want to say goodbye to our friends?
Yes, let's do it. Until next time, kids, we'll see you on the supernatural side.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. Bye.
You've been listening to Balls, a supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBNBallsPod or email SBNBallsPod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.